Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome everyone to another edition of Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
How are you, babes?
I'm really good, thank you. Making the most of, I think, probably our last day of summer.
Yes, I believe so. I went out for a nice walk on my lunch break today, and I have to say it was lovely, but I did get the feeling like I'm really eking out the last little bit of summer today. Yeah, did you have a nice weekend? I know you were, did you go away for the night?
Oh, yes. I was away filming and had a nice little evening away, which was really nice. Again, we've been so lucky for the last few days with the weather. Really lovely big manor house, which was really nice.
Lovely.
And yeah, but I generally feel though that, as we say, winter's on its way. And you know, I ain't mad at that because I kind of feel like I do love a bit of winter fash. I do love a chunky knit. And, I don't want to bring it on too soon, but when it comes, I'm going to be ready for it.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. I have to say, I do like winter, but the second I put a jumper on, I'm a sweaty mess. So I have to be like, I mean, I'm the kind of person that's wearing the same t-shirt all year round. I can't bear it. But having said that, we're all going to be stuck inside anyway, aren't we? Because there's a second lockdown coming. How are you feeling about all of that?
Do you know, I'm not going to lie, it all just scares me a little bit. Like,
really?
Is this year, I just don't know what's next. It has just been the strangest of strange. Mm. And I mean, we're kind of prepared for it in the sense that we've already done 3+ months already this year. But just when I thought there was light at the end of the tunnel, it seems
No.
No. Like the whole kind of making sure you're out of restaurants and bars by 10 o'clock and that kind of thing. You just think, oh, when's this going to end? And what does this really mean for Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's probably the question on everyone's mind, isn't it? Christmas. I was having the exact same discussion with my mum because she's moving house as well. So she probably won't even have room for me to come visit. Well, she will, I mean, but I'll have to sleep on a mattress on the floor or something. You know, like it's, and you know, my sister was planning to see her brother-in-law, but they've got 3 kids. My sister's got 2 kids. So that's 5 already between them. What if you can't have more than 6? My sister works for the police as well, so she really can't break the rules. it's just going to be really weird. And I think we're used to the year on a normal year working in a cycle, aren't you? You know, you have your early year when everyone's trying to get healthy, and then the summer comes around, and then it's winter and Christmas and blah blah. Everyone goes on their holidays in the summer, whatever. This year, there's just none of that, and I think trying to get into that weird idea that Christmas is not going to be what we think it is, I don't know, just find it really bizarre.
Yeah, and I mean, well, even down to things like the build-up to Christmas, obviously I think it's probably safe to say there are going to be no office parties. Well, no. There ain't no offices really at the minute, is there, to be
no.
fair?
No.
So there's that kind of side of things. I don't know what it means for people going Christmas shopping. I mean, people have spent so many months not working that no one's really going to have money to spend anyway.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, when it comes to picking what family you can have around the table, how do you even decide that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be like a secret Santa, but for guests.
You are through. You have to spend Christmas by yourself. You know, if the numbers come down substantially, maybe they'll let us have Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah. Fingers crossed that Boris sees the Christmas joy and says, you know what, guys, go and have the 25th with your family and then all back on the 26th.
Yeah, in your houses, no going out.
Going out. Well, that's kind of the thing that I don't really understand, because I don't know where we pulled the 10 p.m. rule from. Like, can we not catch COVID now until 10? Like, you can't catch it in the day.
After 10, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's so that people aren't as drunk. I guess probably as the evening gets on, you're less likely to be adhering to social distancing. You've had a few more drinks post 10 p.m, but is there a big difference between 10 and 11? I don't know. Like, there must be a reason why they're doing it, I imagine. That's the only reason I can think. Will it have any effect on TOWIE? Or usually have you finished filming by then?
Sometimes we do film late, so we have been known to film a lot later than 10, but I don't know where we stand. And this is the problem that, and I hold my hands up to it, I still don't fully understand the rules. Every time rules come out, they're always so kind of 50 Shades of Grey that I don't fully really understand them. Do you know what I mean?
So although
that's the case, I don't know where we stand, because TOWIE is work. So does workplaces not have to be a 10 o'clock curfew, or is it still up until 10, even if you're working?
No idea. I have no. Maybe that's one for the producers, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's totally confusing. You have actually had a little bit of drama yourself in TOWIE this week, haven't you?
Yeah. Speaking of. Just a little bit. Which again, it is the strangest of times, really, because Sunday night's ep went out, and there was a scene in particular where some of the girls got into it, shall we say, and there was a row. Which was quite a full-on reel.
And this was with Chloe, right?
So Chloe Brockett, had been having a little bit of beef and ended up having a row with... So there was Clelia, Nicole, Olivia. So Chloe Brockett walks in, she's with Yaz, and me and Saf happen to be in the same beer garden. So as I kind of put a statement out on Instagram, because I think some people still don't, and I kind of get it, don't fully understand how the nature of, not just TOWIE, I guess a lot of reality TV or all TV shows work. So when we're filming a scene, we can film that from 45 minutes, an hour, sometimes more, which obviously, if you think about it, that has to be condensed down, because if there's 10 scenes or 12 scenes in a whole show, the show can't be 12 hours long.
Yeah, like, it's not Big Brother.
No, it's not Big Brother. So long and short of it is, the girls have all got into this heated discussion. Well, say it's a row, and quite a full-on row. And after all, everyone said their kind of bit. I don't believe that there was no bullying there. Everyone was just, they're all strong women. They all had their opinions, and they had to say what they had to say, and they all stand by what they said. So I've then eventually let everyone get it off their chest, said to all the girls, not any girl in particular, sort of like, enough's enough kind of thing. I tried to diffuse it, tried to end it, but that didn't make the edit. So I've now been trolled, because it looks like, in some people's eyes, the troll's eyes, which is another story in itself, the lovely trolls that we know and love, have decided to troll me, because they said I was just sat in the beer garden watching a 19-year-old girl get annihilated, which isn't the case. Like, she stood her own. The girls have had their discussion. And yes, I campaigned for be kind. I campaigned to make trolling illegal and to make online a more positive place. But it doesn't fall on me all the time. I can't run around to every argument in Essex.
No, it's not your job.
It's not my job. I don't have a magic wand and make everyone not have disagreements.
Love and light.
Yeah, love and light. And so, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, it was a little bit full on. So that's why I just wanted to put that statement out there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't edit the show. I'm not a producer. I did say my bit in the end. I was like, look, girls, blah, blah, blah. However, that didn't make the cut. And do you know what? A lot of stuff doesn't make the cut in TV, you know? So... But hey ho!
You move on, and I assume the trolls will move on too. I'm sure you will have done something next week that will have upset them just as much.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, completely, Stephen.
And this is the problem, is it? But actually, we have a guest on today who will be able to discuss a bit more, don't we?
We do. We have my good friend Saf on, Len Pierre. She'll be joining us for a little chat, and yeah. I mean, she actually was at the beer garden with me, sat at the table. So we can have a lovely little chat, see how she's finding it. She's still relatively new to the show. So it's always nice to kind of see how they're finding it, how they're settling in.
Yeah.
Especially during these strange times.
Because it's not the big parties in a mansion somewhere and, you know, fashion shows or trips to Wales or whatever. Marbella you used to go to.
Marbella, yeah.
None of that anymore, not in 2020. You're lucky if you get to sit in the beer garden and watch two people have a Barney.
Yeah, we've had a night away in Chelmsford. Do you know what? It's the year of the staycation, and I'm grateful for that. Do you know what I mean? Love a bit of Chelmo. So we take what we can take, and I just think we've all just got to make do. Do you know what I mean? We've all got our health. That's the main thing.
That is true, as long as we do. In addition to Saf, we also have coming up first, actually, Maya Bander from Selling Sunset, which is very exciting. we had Mary on a couple of weeks ago. So it'll be great to speak to her and find out her perspective on the show and what's all been going on. And then also we have Faye Tozer from Steps, who I actually did a little pre-record interview with last week. We don't usually do that on this show, but she was only available for a very small amount of time. So I took a bit of time out to speak to her. So that will be coming up at the end of the show. She's actually really lovely. I've interviewed her a couple of times. She's one of those, like, you would never, if you didn't know she was a celebrity, you would never guess it from the way she acts. She's just completely down to earth, completely normal. So really nice to chat with her.
I'm gutted on me, such a Steps fan.
Faye, you really missed out, you lucked out there, but you know, totally understandable, you're a busy man. there has been some showbiz goss to get through this week. Have you seen the first confirmed celebrity for Dancing on Ice?
Yeah, Mylene Klass.
What do you reckon? I was a bit shocked.
I am shocked. I ain't gonna lie, but I've got a sneaky suspicion she's gonna be really good.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know why I think. No, actually, I do know why I think that. Because I think anyone who can play an instrument is really intelligent. I don't know why I think that.
I know what you mean. And maybe you think they maybe just can, like, handle themselves better and know rhythm and that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's a talent. I mean, I basically, at a push, mastered the recorder and the triangle, which ain't really, it's not going to get you very far in the music world, do you know what I mean? I think she's going to be really, really good. I can't wait to see the rest of the names. I've been trying to find around, like, on the DL, who's the rumours. But it all seems to be quite tight-lipped.
Well, there have been a couple of rumours that I have read. Becky Vardy seems to be quite hotly tipped. Which is quite interesting, considering she's in the middle of her little battle with Colleen Rooney, I guess you could say. And then, who else is... Oh no, Jamie Lance Strictly. There's a guy who's in Emmerdale who was confirmed today, but I can't remember his name.
Are they staggering them daily? Do we find out one celeb a day?
I think maybe, yeah, because the thing with Dancing on Ice is they take so long to train, don't they? So even though the show doesn't start until January, I guess they need to... Warren Plant. His name is Warren Plant, I've just been informed. From Emmerdale. So they take so much time to train. But yeah, I agree with you. I do think that Mylene's going to be one to watch. I'm excited to see what she'll bring to the table.
It's going to be different this year. Do you reckon there will be changes because of everything that's obviously going on with the world?
Well, they did confirm with Strictly, haven't they, that they are having a studio audience, but they're seated, like, on tables, like there would be at, like, an award show or something. So it's going to be a kind of a different setup. I wonder if Dancing on Ice will be the same. It's a bit of a longer run than Strictly. I can't really remember, but I wonder if they'll have to isolate with their dancers and blah blah. But again, I guess it all really depends what the state of the world is like come the time the show starts in early January.
We just don't know. Celebs normally start putting their skates on. I always think around October, celebs start getting their practice in.
Yeah.
So they must be due now to start getting their partners and training. But like you say, they've now probably got to, I don't know what they'll have to do with their partners to make sure they've then become their own bubble.
Yeah, it's just...
What that means for the group dances as well, because normally, like, when you get all the celebs and all the pros that do their shows and their little performances, normally, because it's a relatively small ring, there's, I don't know how they'll all be 2 metres, but there'll be probably producers sat there somewhere with their pen and paper.
Desperately trying to work it out and a tape measure, yeah. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I believe we actually have our first guest, Maya, here right now, so let's get her in. Hello?
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh my gosh, you guys, literally, I for some reason, I thought we are... I mean, well, I said it's another hour and I just finished feeding my baby and she literally spit everything on the floor here. So it's a huge, and my dog is licking everything right now. But anyways.
Oh, so sorry.
I do not look professional. Am I too loud?
You don't need to worry at all. Thank you so much. Well, we appreciate you coming on when you can. Yeah. How are you doing?
No worries. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very well, very well. How are things over in California?
It's actually, I'm in Florida right now. I'm in Miami.
Oh, okay, okay. How's that?
Have to put the camera down for a sec. Things are well. I mean, you know, COVID, I've been really busy, really, really busy with work.
So are you working between the two, between Miami and...
Yeah, so I'm more based in Miami now. You know, if we do season four, I'll have to go back to LA for a few months, but we relocated to Miami, and obviously since COVID, I was avoiding traveling at any time, although I do have clients who looking to buy in LA, so they can actually travel and they will decide to travel, then I'll probably make my way to LA for a day or two to do the showings and be involved as much as I can. But yeah, I'm in Florida and Miami.
And has a season four been confirmed to you yet? Can you reveal?
I cannot reveal.
it's looking likely though, I think.
I would tell you it's 50-50% chance.
Okay, fair enough. I think the funny thing with Selling Sunset is that because it became such a hit, you know, while lockdown happened and people were looking for a little bit of glamour and excitement, what is it you think about the show that has endeared people to it?
I think the combination of the crazy girls, and I'm kidding, actually they're all great. Sorry, my son is here.
That's okay.
You know, they play in his favorite song and it's our song anyway. So he's looking at me, he's like, are you picking me up to dance? But anyways, I think it's the combination of the girls, and I would say also the houses. You know, look, everybody loves real estate, and especially you see all the glam and the sexiness, and I think it's just a good combination. You just see LA very well, and then you see, obviously, you know, the hot spots and add music to it. I think it's a great formula for a successful show.
Yeah.
Can you believe the success that the show's had? Like, does it feel a bit surreal?
You know, I cannot believe the success, and I probably don't even know how successful it is because I'm very, I guess, down to earth, and I don't really see as a big deal because I do real estate. I'm not an actress to, you know, be famous, but it is nice. I mean, I don't go out as much because obviously COVID. So when I do go to do showings or even to the grocery store, people always recognize me. So it's with the mask. So I'm like, I guess I don't look that bad.
That must have been
no makeup with mask, and I still get recognized. So I'm like, okay, you know.
what's kind of the what do people say to you? Do they just want to get a picture or?
Sometimes pictures, or you know, oh my gosh, you mind from Selling Sunset? I moved to the other room because I have the two babies in the other room.
Oh, that's okay.
So they're like, oh my gosh, we love you, we're on Selling Sunset, ta ta ta. So it's nice, you know, we inspire people, and I think it's great. I get emails all the time. I actually just got an email about someone who got her license, and I get in those all the time. So I'm trying to do Zoom and kind of like meetups and some inspirational stuff for people and kind of like tips and advice. Obviously, in the show, everything looks so easy, but I just have to keep things real. It's not always easy. Most of the time, it's actually very difficult.
I think that's the success of the show, though. I know, obviously, we've all gone through the strangest of times the last year with everything that's been happening with the pandemic. So yeah. When we've all been kind of shut away in our houses, to kind of have that escape from reality and see these most amazing properties, like in LA, tens of millions of pounds. It's property porn, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's totally, you know, a property porn. And I think, and there are so many beautiful houses in LA. We obviously don't show all of them. We show whatever listings or buyers we work with. But the real estate in LA is amazing. And people have money. I mean, that's the entertainment industry. People have money. A lot of those houses sell all cash. I mean, I don't know what they do. I probably shouldn't do real estate. I should do what they do. So I can actually buy the houses, you know?
Do you ever get a bit of envy, or do you go in there and think, oh, I'd like to do that to my house, or, you know, I'd like a giant pool and a waterfall or whatever?
I love to see houses. And no, I actually don't get envy at all. I love seeing houses. I love driving by and see constructions. I just love real estate. I'm passionate about it. Mm. So I definitely don't get envy. I think it's actually more, you know what? A vision, but I also don't need like a huge mansion. It's not my thing either. I'm okay with, I mean, we just bought a house here last year and it's a nice one story, 3,000 square feet, and I love my house. So, yeah.
And you've got your family there, and I guess that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Exactly. I got my two kids, my husband, who is wonderful. I wish I could show him in the show, but unfortunately, I cannot.
Yeah, so, that was actually, I was going to ask about that. What is the reasoning behind that? There's a lot of people talk about it, don't they? They want to
well,
know
he's why. A secret agent. I'm kidding, no. no, you know, he's in finance. He works for a big company who buys companies. So he has a pretty big, you know, role. And I feel like maybe him being on a reality show, like our show, with all the drama and nonsense at times, I feel like it could risk actually him losing his job. So unfortunately, I cannot show him as much. So I try to share, you know, Instagram and all that stuff so people can at least know who is my husband. But he has a very professional career and it doesn't really align with, you know, the show storylines. I mean, maybe I'm going to try maybe for if we have season four, if I'm on season four, I don't even know that. Maybe. One episode of, I don't know, me and him walking with the babies or something. I don't think it's that bad.
Just to show his face briefly.
Just to show that I actually have a husband. I'm not like some imaginary crazy person. I don't just go and adopt children. Yeah.
What does your husband think of your success and the success of the show? Does he sit and watch it with you?
He hates it. No, I'm kidding. He loves it. He's very, very supportive of that. And it's been very difficult for us last year because he was in Miami full time. I was in LA renting a place with our, you know, baby, with our son for like 5 months. So he was doing the back and forth and it wasn't easy. I mean, we obviously made it happen because he was just supporting of me doing the show. Now, that being said, if we get picked up and I have to relocate with two kids for a couple of months, it's probably not going to be an option for me. So I have to figure out what to do if they want me in the show. Maybe fly again back and forth, maybe be there 1 month. I don't know. I'll have to worry about it when it comes. But I don't know if they even want me if they do season four because I don't provide the drama. I'm pretty much, you know.
Would you be sad if you weren't involved? Would you want
I
to
think,
go back?
Yeah. I mean, look, my priority is my family and also my real estate in Miami is getting really busy. So I like to pursue that and focus on that. That being said, being on a show on Netflix, it's an amazing opportunity. So I would be a little bit disappointed. Sure, I'm not providing the drama, but I think I can add some value to it because, you know, real estate and my kids, and there is more to share. Obviously, last season focused heavily on Kushel's divorce. And you know, you had Amanza also, which is a new girl. So I totally lost, I think, screen time. But I don't have an ego. I'm fine losing screen time. But I think you can show more of me a little bit as well. But yeah, I don't have ego, but they can show me more.
In an ideal world. Well, you mentioned Chrishell. Have you seen her on Dancing with the Stars?
So I saw a vid. I wanted to watch Dancing with the Star, but I couldn't. But I only saw her dancing. And, you know, I heard she got bad reviews, but I actually saw her dance. And I think she did very well.
Yeah, she was good. I thought she was good.
She was good. I don't know why people gave her a hard time. And you know what? I told her, actually, I'm like, look, you put yourself out there. You give it a shot. I probably would suck at it. So good for her for trying. And whoever says bad things, oh, she's terrible dance and blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's not easy. I'm sure she's very nervous. So.
Well, she's not professional, is she?
Exactly. I mean, trust me, I would probably fall or something. She didn't even fail. So I think she has another thing tonight. I think there is one. Tonight, so episodes. I'm gonna try to follow and watch, but I'm supportive of that. I think it's great she's doing that, and good for her.
She has also suggested that the brokerage is split, and that some people have left. Is there anything you can talk about?
Yeah. So, well, the only one who actually kind of like left is Brett because he opened his own technically, but Brett is a licensed broker. So people don't understand the difference between an agent and a broker. When you are an agent, you have to hang your license under a broker. In our case, it's Jason. Now, Brett is also a broker. So he's just doing his own thing. And he's technically the only one who left, but he's still obviously doing stuff with Jason. They work on a bunch of deals together. Rumors were, I mean, Christine were, you know, saying that I left the brokerage, but I'm totally with Jason. We're actually working on a listing here together in Miami and another buyer. So we're definitely collaborating. So
would it be possible for you to maybe set up an office in Miami and for there to be a kind of a spin-off or something like that?
It's been talk about it. I am taking my broker's license so I can actually run the office, but I don't know if you will want to invest financially doing that. I think it would be cool to either do a spin-off or even show me doing stuff in Miami because Miami is also very sexy. And we do have a lot of international buyers, and a lot of them are from the UK as well. I mean, the Beckhams just bought a nice penthouse here in one of the buildings.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we can feature them. And
Have you met the Beckhams?
No, I haven't. I haven't met the Beckhams. Would be nice if I would be the buyer's or seller agent, but I think I have to do like 20 seasons of Selling Sunset to get to those kind of clients.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I love the Beckhams. I mean, I love Spice Girls, you know, back in the days, remember Spice Girls? Oh, yeah, but funny story, actually. So I used to door knock up in the hills. You just literally go door to door and ask if people want to buy or sell. So one of the doors who opened to me was Mel B.
Oh, really? No. What did she say to you? What did she say? Go away.
She was nice. I just asked if she but she was nice. But it was funny because, I mean, I didn't tell her, oh my gosh, you're Mel B from Spice Girls, but I totally knew who she was. So,
and was she interested in selling?
No, but I think they sold it like 2-3 years later, the house.
Okay. God, that's same so house, funny. Yeah. So, well, there you go. You could, that's one Spice Girls TikTok. You've just got 4 more to get now.
Mel B, yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us today, May. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And enjoy the
rest of your day. And thanks for the UK fans, because, I mean, after the US, the UK is our number, I guess, one with Selling Sunset. So thank you.
People are obsessed. They just love seeing sunny places. I tell you, that's what it is.
That's awesome. That's awesome, guys.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. And sorry for being late, but you know, we can call it fashionably late.
Yeah. Honestly, we've had way worse. We had people not turn up at all. So, you know, you did well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Maya.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Well, she's so
isn't she? Oh, it just makes you want to emigrate to the States, though. When they talk about these lives in Miami and LA, and I'm like, oh, when you look out your window to Essex.
All I can see is the building opposite. I can't even see the sky. So, I mean, like, you know, this is the world we live in, you know, this is it. But no, actually, you know, she's kind of right. She seems to have like no ego at all, does she? She's just really like cash, like, here I am with my kids, like whatever, I'm just living my life. So it seems really nice.
I love that. You know, I mean, bless her, I mean, she's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I bring enough to it. I don't think people always necessarily want someone to stay in there screaming. I think it's probably really refreshing that she is different. She brings something different to the table.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with
lovely
you.
Lady. Love very that. Nice.
Now we have your pal coming in, Saf.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Can't see you though, Saf.
Oh, you're joking. Hold on.
No joke.
I'm here.
Oh, there
hey.
She is.
How you doing?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate it too.
you were involved in a bit of drama this week, weren't you? We've just been talking to Bob about it.
What drama's that?
Well, Sunday's Ep.
Yeah, is it Sunday's
Ep? Oh, yeah, terrible.
Tell us about it. And then Bobby was talking about how much trolling he's been getting afterwards.
So basically, the girls have had an ongoing feud, Chloe Brockett, Liv, Clelia, Nicole, and about 10 others, but that'll come soon. And there was an incident in a pub garden. Me and Bobby were there. I was enjoying my book from the book club. Got caught off guard. We were running. So basically, the aftermath of it is that me and Bobby are being trolled. Bob on a completely different level, obviously, because he's got the campaign, about sitting there and not responding. But Bobby had intervened, and obviously it didn't get shown. So that's Towie.
Nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you finding it, Seth, being on the show? I mean...
Well,
you've joined in, 2018 now? So you've kind of done a good, year and a half?
Yeah, it's my fourth series. I think this has been my best series yet. Like, I think I've found my feet a bit now, got some solid friendships, and we've had more of a laugh this series. I've been doing some fun stuff, crabbing, going to the deer. I like weird things, you see.
Weird?
Well, not weird, but therapeutic things for the soul.
I've been able
to run for it because basically I'm newly single. So I was in a relationship from 15 with somebody for 10 years. And then I was in a relationship after that, but the viewers not really know much about me until now. So I've been able to sort of run with that, share a bit about my personal life. And also I've just been sort of finding happiness alone, because lockdown really highlighted a lot for me.
Like what?
A lot of time to self-reflect, a lot of time to sit with my own thoughts, which I hadn't done for a long time, and just being on my own, which sounds mad, but it was daunting. I didn't know what alone was.
Really?
Yeah, because if I'm not around friends or busy at work, I was always with somebody.
Yeah. How did you find that?
I didn't even drive.
Was it difficult though? Because, I mean, like, yeah, I live by myself and I actually love it. But I mean, if you've never done it before, it must be a different thing.
Yeah, it was horrendous. Really? I don't enjoy my own company. I'm not good with my own company. But right. I didn't actually realise that till I was on my own, then in a situation where actually we weren't going to work, we weren't mixing with people. I didn't have friends around and say, oh, let's go for dinner and things like that. So I sat with myself. I do live with my dad. I've come home. I was living elsewhere. But even that, there's only so much you can talk about with your dad. Do you get what I mean? And then I was just, yeah, in my own thoughts, and it's made me realise a lot.
But there's a lot to be said, I think, for learning to be comfortable with your own company and for being single.
Yeah, there is definitely. Like, people say, oh, embrace single life. And I was thinking, embrace single life? What, going to bed on your own? Like, watching TV on your own? Making dinner on your own? It ain't my thing. It really ain't. I bore myself, funny enough. Like, there's only so much of my own voice I like.
I mean, I can understand that. I mean, I definitely felt the same. But, you know, yeah, I think you're right in a way. It does give you the opportunity to reevaluate and look at your life. Was there anything in particular that you kind of learned in that time, looking at things a different way, your friendships, your relationships? Anything like
I
that?
Think I really realised who my true friends were in that time. People that you could just pick up the phone to. And I realised that I'd wasted a lot of energy on time on things that I shouldn't have. Because at the end of the day, you've got to be happy with yourself, and you've got to be happy with yourself and content on your own. And all this, if you're not happy with yourself, or if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love. And probably I carried that through relationships even, but not knowing, because I'm an empath, so I'm a giver. So I'm always thinking about somebody else. Mm. When it came to me, I was like, shit, this is real. Like, and I've suffered in the past with my mental health. Like, I've suffered with anxiety and not as much depression, but I think I was going down that route. So I've gone through that, and I have seen, I've been to therapists and things like that. And you talk about yourself so much, but still I don't think I ever was sitting with myself. There's a massive difference going to somebody and saying, like, oh, this is my problem, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. But then coming away and you're still in the rat race, whereas lockdown, there was no rat race, you were stopped. Mm. And yeah, I suppose I've grown from it. It's been a positive. I felt negative at the time. Obviously, me and Bobby done Isolation with the Nation, which was fantastic for other people and for our own minds. So that was still doing a bit of giving back. And my background before TOWIE was working with other people, helping people. I was in like the social care sector, and my mum's a foster carer, so I've always been around that sort of thing of giving back and like doing, and that makes me feel better. It's a coping mechanism, which I didn't realise either. So yeah. I was thinking, the reason I cope is because I'm neglecting my own faults and feelings, but actually helping other people, because I've got the answers to that, but not the answer to myself.
Mm.
But coming in back into TOWIE and sharing that, TOWIE have been really supportive of that storyline, and we've followed it, and I've been doing different things, different hobbies, things that I probably wouldn't do, but I'm a lot more happier than I was 6 months ago.
That's so good. And at least something positive has come out of
negative
experience. How's your friendship with Gemma Collins these days?
Me and Gemma were good friends for a long time. I worked with her in the clothing, and we were good friends. We were like sisters, really, and we read like sisters as well as love like sisters. But me and Gemma no longer talk. I wish her all the best, and that's it, really.
Is there any reason for that, or has it just dissipated, disappeared? I don't know.
There is reasons, but I'm not willing to discuss them.
Okay, fair enough. I think
we've got our own separate ways. She's successful. I wish her all the happiness and best, and that's it.
Well, and now you've got your friendship with other people. You've got Bobby right here with you now. What, like, how did you guys first meet, and how did you get on, and all of that? Did you meet through the show?
So me and Bob met about 8 years ago, I think, because obviously where I was running Gemma's shop, they would film a lot in Brentwood, and me and Gemma would spend a lot of time out of the shop, and she'd spend a lot of time with Bobby, so our paths crossed. And then our relationship just grew from there. And then I was on the show, so we got closer, spent time on holidays together. And yeah, it's a blooming relationship.
And now you've got pub gardens and book clubs and all that, you know.
Oh, we've got it. Oh, we went whitewater rafting the other day.
Oh, God, yeah. That was an experience, wasn't it?
Exhilaration.
I mean, it's quite good that you're getting to do... Because I guess with Towie, quite often it would be... go to a party, meet someone in the park, you know, at least you're getting to do new kind of things. And I guess the lockdown and the virus has forced that to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We're doing a lot of outside stuff. Me and Saf in the old ringy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't. We capsized out the boat. Badly. Yeah.
It was like Jack and Rose on the Titanic.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Like that. But he survived and I didn't. I was like a drowned rat.
What else can we expect from you in the series coming up?
For the next few weeks of... Well, I am honest, which is the first time I've been honest on screen about anything. So I do delve into a bit of my personal stuff. You may see some tears. You'll see laughter after, but I do cry. I have an open, honest conversation with Georgia. I've stayed away from the drama. It's not really my thing. I can have an argument, but I'd rather not do it on TV.
Why are you laughing, Bob?
Because I've seen her go. When she goes, she goes.
Listen, never say never. I haven't crossed anyone in that way yet. I tell it how it is, and that's
there's still time. There's still time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's
still a few weeks left of the series, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Do you think you'd ever, I mean, I ask this to a lot of people, but is there anything else that you'd like to do TV-wise now that you've done Towie? Can you see yourself?
A lot of people keep asking me about Celebs Go Dating.
Oh, yeah.
I will rule that out just for the factor of maybe I need to get in the mix. Do you get what I mean? I don't really like going out clubbing. That ain't my thing.
And who would you like to be matched with? Who can you imagine yourself being matched with?
Oh, I don't know. I've never thought. That's what I mean. I've never thought about it. I ain't thought about the next bit. Do you get what I mean? I'm not there yet, to be honest. But you never say
well,
never.
Think now, Seth. Give us a name. Who's your celeb crush?
No, Bob, I haven't got one, honestly. It'd be an Hollywood film star.
Can I just say that whoever does the press for Towie, getting you lot to say never say never to everything is getting tiring. I hear it all the time.
Oh dear.
I need to find out who's doing your press briefing.
Yeah.
fair enough though, never say never. I'm trying to think who I put you with. I'm trying to think if there's anyone on Made in Chelsea or anything.
Oh, you're joking, aren't you, Steve?
Well, what's wrong with that?
I'd last all the 5 minutes. I've done elocution lessons the other day. That was hysterical. I didn't even say elocution.
You just did. So obviously it can't be that bad. I could see you on Celebs Go Dating because you know you're funny and you're good on screen. So why not? I mean,
yeah. I mean, the ultimate job is I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. I would love to do that to face some fears, but I ain't every jungle creature going, so I don't know how people do it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
I can't dance.
Close my doors and windows so that spiders can't get in. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? I couldn't...
Yeah, I can't bear spiders.
I'm not being buried in a coffin full of spiders when I don't even want one coming through my window.
Yeah, the rats in the coffin would send me over the edge.
And 2020's been like the jungle. If I see one more daddy long legs,
yeah,
I'm or tarantulas the size of my hand, forget it. There's far too many. I blame it on the weather or the corona. It's something's gone mad this year.
Well, they're running from the virus as well.
Oh yeah, but they're running around Essex.
Yeah.
So, what about a bit of dancing on ice? Couple of blades on your feet.
Yeah. Do you know what? Dancing on ice, I can imagine being brilliant. I can ice skate. I mean, we did do ice skating once, didn't we, Bob? I was holding onto the penguin for dear life.
Yeah, I could have let go of it.
Yeah, you could let go of it. But ice skating, lovely. Yeah, love the costumes and that. Wouldn't mind skating around like Bambi.
Being spun around by your ankle, doing the headbanger.
Yeah, forget it. No.
Okay, change your mind.
Pieces all over the place.
Yeah.
Lashes.
My face would slide and be still on the ice.
I really want to see this now. I really want to see this. Well, Saf, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks for being so open and honest about what's going on in your life. Because I think a lot of people sometimes think that if you're on a TV show, you don't have any of these problems. But clearly, you're just a normal
person. Yeah, that's the thing. There's a mad sort of view on TV, reality TV, I think, especially because Essex is known as this glamorous sort of filtered place, but actually the filter needs to come off. Like, we're in 2020 and there's a lot more to us as a cast than just handbags and fake tatting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for joining us, like I said. Yeah, amen. Preach. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate
it. Thanks
so much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
I can see why your friends are there, Bob. She seems really lovely and funny as well. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I so get what you mean there, because now I've been doing interviews like the last few hours. I so get when you speak to two people and they go, never say never.
All of you bastards. Honestly,
that you speak to, and I'm like, is that what we've all been running around saying for all this time?
If I had a penny, for every time I'd heard it, I'd have at least 50p. I mean, honest to God.
You'd be buying property over on selling Sunset.
I'll be living in Beverly Hills, all on you Towie lot, saying never say never all the time. that was a great chat.
Oh, yeah, lovely show. That I can't wait to sit and listen to your pre-recorded one with the lovely Faye.
Oh, yeah. For everyone listening, we have the gorgeous Faye Tozer coming up. And I believe we're playing their song. Is that right? Yeah, we're playing their song, which is called What the Future Holds. Enjoy and see you on the other side. Hello, Faye, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for speaking to us. Really appreciate it. Congrats on the new single. I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
Are you? I love to hear that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the response has been pretty mind-blowing, actually. We're always wondering what people are going to think. You know, if we believe in something, we just cross our fingers. And wow, it's been brilliant.
I was going to say, was it a bit nerve-wracking? Because obviously your last album, Tears on the Dance Floor, was such like success. Was there any kind of nerves about coming back and doing it again? Were any of you dubious or what was the score?
I mean, you never know what people are going to think of your album. I mean, this is very different, I think, to the last album.
Oh, really?
But having such a huge banger, you know, given to us on the management table, It was in fact about 3 years ago when we first heard it. It kind of blew up straight away, and we were like, well, if we're going to do another album, this is just the great way to start. So it kind of got the ball rolling. But you know, we're never complacent. We think we know our fans, and we think we know what they'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. And we think we know we have a certain formula to steps and what it should sound like and what we should be delivering.
Yeah.
But we always like to take a few chances. And also develop and or go back or revisit things. So yeah, I mean, it's all down to individual taste really at the end of the day, but we think we've got it right.
I have to say, it was quite interesting when the last album came out and Scared of the Dark came out. I had a friend who's not a pop fan at all, and he was like, I'm so glad that they've come back with like a really good song and that like it's all happening for them. Do you think you are winning over new people as well?
It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the music snobs and skeptics that we expect to deal with, I guess. You know, we've never tried to be anything that we're not. And the people who are fans thoroughly enjoy great pop music. Mm-hmm. I just think we're so lucky because nowadays I think we are being offered songs by really incredible writers. Mm-hmm. I think because we're more in control as well. I think the quality of the songs and our recordings are a standard that we really love and we feel confident in and that we can give to everyone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we feel like we're in a different place. Not that we'd ever be complacent, but it's kind of fun because we're not doing it to chase a number one. We know that we're doing it for our fans, really. And if anybody else joins in, that's kind of a bonus for us.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you must be pretty confident that it's going to go well because you're going on tour next year. Obviously, I mean, it probably depends on what's going on in the wider world. But, you know, that and the O2, you know, that's what gets bigger than that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're going to be at the O2 in November the 26th, 2021. So I guess our confidence comes from our touring agent. Our record company, we're now signed to BMG. We had a lovely offer from BMG. Last album, we were independent. Mm-hmm. Now
oh, really?
It's wonderful to have like a big machine behind us who believe in us and actually who are delivering to the fans, you know, some great social network advertising and, you know, giving us all the bells and whistles on top of what we could have done last time. Mm. So it feels like we're not doing it for anybody else than our fans.
Yeah, fair enough. I think, and that's actually the best way to do it, I think, especially like you said, because you don't have to please anyone else now. You've got a fan base, haven't you? And they really are sticking by you.
Absolutely. And we have the most amazing back catalogue.
You really do. I mean, it really is kind of timeless almost.
Well, yeah, and we have an amazing musical director who we use for tours and for different arrangements, Steve Anderson, who does stuff for Kylie and all sorts, who breathes new life into our early songs so we can redeliver them, you know, with a new lease of life when we do our live shows. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, you know, we are pinching ourselves that 23 years later, you know, people are still interested. They're still wanting more, and it's just a wonderful place to be, really.
And what about your interpersonal relationships now? I think, obviously, you did a reality TV show, didn't you, where everything kind of was thrown up in the air and everyone kind of got to know what really happened behind the scenes. What are your friendships like now?
Well, you know, that whole thing, that was back in 2011. You know,
it seems wild.
I know, it was a long time ago. Yeah. Was kind of, you know, at the time it was painful and but cathartic, and I don't think we'd be here without doing that series, really, because a lot of questions needed to be answered, or we needed to lay stuff to rest, you know, water under the bridge. And I think we're stronger because of that now. But I think we're actually, you know, the more time goes on, the better place we're in. We're family, you know, we look after each other. We can support each other's separate projects outside steps and not have a qualm about that, because we know at the end of the day, we're preparing for the next chapter in steps every time. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's very, very protective of each other and the band.
That's really nice to hear. And I think it shows. I came to see your show at Kew Gardens a couple of years ago. And what an incredible evening it was. And like, I think like, yeah, what you say is right. You can tell that it's not what it used to be, is it, between you all? You're at a different stage now.
Yeah, it's just brilliant, you know, and we work so, so hard, and Steps is our baby, you know, it's our business, and we care very, very much for it. But the lovely thing is we work so hard, but we laugh really hard now. Mm-hmm. And I think, because, you know, it feels like we can be honest to each other about everything. The communication gates, you know, were flung wide open. during the Sky series. So I think, you know, onwards and upwards.
Definitely. What can we expect from the album?
So in What the Future Holds, our single, which is the title track of the album, there's a lyric that says one foot in the past and one foot in the future. And I really think that that's quite apt for the feeling of the album. Mm-hmm. So Tears on the Dance Floor, the previous album, was very much dance floor bangers. And that was intentional. We wanted to get everybody back on the dance floor with us again. Mm-hmm. This album, yes, we've got some great dance floor tracks in there, but there's some really great sing-along things. There's some more intimate stuff, you know, that we felt was really relevant to where we are in our lives. And I know that our fans have sort of grown up with us, mm-hmm. and a lot of us at the same stage or have been through things, you know, and I think it really speaks to us in some ways. We've all got completely different favourites on the album, so it's going to be really interesting to hear the feedback from the fans once they've had a listen.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, the tour is obviously a little way off yet. Do you have any plans for it at the moment? Do you know kind of what you're thinking?
So when we found out and confirmed that we were definitely going to do it 2021, we had to get the ball rolling straight away because these things take time to prepare.
I bet.
And we know exactly what the stage shape is going to be. We've got our little model in place, which is very exciting. We've got the theme, the major theme around it. But now it's a wonderful creative time where we throw pictures and ideas about costumes, staging, lighting, and everyone gets really, really involved. And lots of collages and montages of things flying around on WhatsApp groups to different, you know, people. And ideas of how we can update the back music and things like that. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, it's nice to have something to aim for at the minute, because obviously the last few months have been difficult for everyone, I guess. Has that been the same for you? How have you coped in the last 6 months or so?
So it's been really hard, to be honest, because we were supposed to be releasing all this last March, you know, the day before the news of lockdown.
Oh, God. Talk about timing.
Lisa was literally going to step onto a plane and we were like, no, don't do it. We had to put everything on pause. So, you know, keeping our tongues tied when we'd already put out tiny little teasers to the fans, and then fans asking us on social media, when can you promise us this? And it's like, oh God, we're not actually allowed to say anything because we could ruin the whole campaign.
So
that was really hard. But on the family side of things and the flip side of that, it was a strange thing to be in lockdown. The most wonderful time, because I got to spend 6 months with my son, who is 11, and he is my absolute pride and joy. And that was the best 6 months I could have with him, and I know that I'll never get that time again, so that was actually really precious.
Yeah, that's actually sorry, go on.
No,
please go ahead.
I was gonna say, oh, and also wonderful things like because I live in the northeast, there was a pod of dolphins that we went to go and chase around in the morning.
Oh, wow.
6 o'clock in the morning, and I went, you know, we went paddling at 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun was coming up, and we started golf lessons and we grew tomatoes and all the stuff that I would never have time to do, mm-hmm. Or keep up. So I've got so many precious memories because of lockdown. But I know it was a devastating time for some people. And, you know, we've always got to be really, really conscious. And hopefully now things can improve, or we can look to the future and just be hopeful for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, and actually, a lot of the people that I've interviewed on the show have said exactly the same thing. It's like, yeah, of course, the wider issues have been a big deal, but it has actually been some of the things, like you said, you'll never get that time back. So it's really precious for people. There's also the matter of Strictly Come Dancing is coming back soon. You obviously did very well on the show in, was it 2018?
2018, class of 2018.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to seeing it back, and what are you expecting? Because obviously it's going to be slightly different this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hear rumours and, you know, there's little groups going around where I'm getting some little bit of inside information. Mm-hmm. I'm going to obviously see on the screen, same as everybody else. But I think that it's really exciting that they've gone for it in the climate of things. Actually having a same-sex couple is so very exciting.
Yeah, H really set the mark there, didn't he, doing Dancing on Ice?
You know what? Absolutely, we think so. And if that set the bar or even encouraged them to do it or, you know, made it feel like it was possible, you know, that's just amazing. I think it's really important these days that, you know, everybody is represented, and this is the beginning of so it's very exciting.
Do you think the show will miss Bruno, because he's obviously confirmed he won't be taking part this year?
Oh, of course it's going to be such a shame. It really is, because he's such a huge character.
Sure is that, yeah.
But, you know, I think changes, you know, bring in new personalities. It's like when Moxie came in as well, you know, and things evolve. He will be sorely missed, I'm sure, but I bet there's somebody else interesting coming along to brighten our screens up.
Would you ever do something like on the judging panel or something like that? You obviously got loads of dance experience.
Absolutely. I'd love to do something like that. Yes is the answer.
What about you with Giovanni, is that right? I'm trying to remember.
That's
now.
Right, yes.
Yeah, are you still friends? Do you still chat?
Yeah, absolutely. Over lockdown, there were a few, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but a few little recordings and bits that are going to be seen on Strictly programmes.
Oh yeah, the special shows, they're coming out next month, I think, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we kept in touch with that. We did a few Instagram stories as well, where we went live on Instagram to sort of reminisce with the bands and stuff. That was fun. But yeah, no, and it's brilliant to see how he got on last series as well. So yeah, he's a real sweetie.
I'm really glad to hear that. Well, Faye, thank you so much for speaking to us. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with the album. I'm not overselling it, but I really cannot wait to hear it because I love the last one so much.
That'd be incredible. Well, thank you very much. And just to remind everyone that we're going to be at the O2 on November the 26th.
Can you just introduce your song as well?
I would absolutely love to. So our brand new single from our brand new album is What the Future Holds, and this is by us, Step.
One more teardrop, the surface tension breaks, and if the surface tension breaks, then I will pour my pain and more. Then my heart stops, what will it take? 'Cause if it breaks, if it breaks, if it does, I'll turn to dust. One foot in the past and one foot in the future. I need to take a class and stay in right here with ya. I'm drowning in my history.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone, as usual. That was a great show. Girl power again, just like last week. I'm into it. I'd be happy to have girl power all the time. What are you up to this week, Bob?
So what's in store for this week? Plenty more filming. We're kind of edging towards the end of the series now. So we're a little bit in advance. So we've got Halloween coming up.
What are you gonna be, Gomez?
Gomez, to be really honest with you, I'm having a mess. I think it's gonna be something that you rely heavily on, like a makeup artist, to kind of just do something with the face.
Got it.
Because the problem is trying to find Halloween costumes in September ain't the easiest.
Good point.
I'm sure.
And also, when no one's having parties. No one's having parties, are they? So that might be a problem too.
But it's work. Okay, before Boris comes knocking, it's work. And there will only be six of us.
What a party that sounds like. Six of you all dressed up as pumpkins. Can't wait to see
Bobbing
that on the telly.
Oh, no, we probably can't bob for apples. We'll have to wipe the ante back the apples. Bobbing for sanitizer.
Lovely.
What about yourself, Stephen? You got much planned, Bobes?
Well, I was actually supposed to be going to a birthday party this weekend, but I think that's probably off now.
And remember, if you're going to party, you've got to do a Cinderella, but you've got to be home at 9:59.
Oh, God.
There ain't
so
no midnight.
Boring.
I know, it's going to be strange times, Stephen, but...
This is life now.
It really is. Thank God for Zoom. We'll still always be here, eh?
We'll always be here, Bob. You will catch us every Thursday, you lucky thing. Yeah, well, on that note, till next time, goodbye.
Bye, guys.